Our Ask the Mayor Public Affairs program, and it was a special day because you have a special guest, our Alma Mayor Patrick Taylor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve. And yes, I do have a special guest. We have an exciting partnership and project underway, and that workshop was the very first step to get this ball rolling about having a Boys and Girls Club presence here in the town of Highlands. And our special guest today is Carmen Waite, who is the executive director of the Boys and Girls Club, and I've asked her to come and just talk about some of the ideas and the plans for this exciting project.
And we saw you in the paper on the Highlander, the Able Teen Club opening?
Yes, it's the Able Teen Club. It opened was this week, and we're very excited. We're serving over 100 teens every day.
So I was just down in Cashers yesterday, and to see that beautiful building and all the kids going in and out and having fun.
I became the executive director in 2022, just before we moved into the main club that is right next to the new teen club. Before that, I was a volunteer since 2018, and one of the exciting things is the kids that were kindergartners when I started volunteering are now teens in the new teen club.
Together, we're going to have Boys and Girls Clubs here in Highland. What are the plans for that?
Mayor Pat Taylor, of course, is a huge supporter of kids in the community and understands the importance of having free out-of-school care for our kids, both in the summer and during the school year, in order to support the town and the town's growth. And so we started to talk about having a club here. The Boys and Girls Club of the Plateau has the word plateau because our charter is for both Macon and Jackson County. And so we came here initially at the hospital grounds. We have a location now at the hospital grounds that we open in August, and it's already full to the gills with kids. And so we're excited about the potential of this new partnership.
How about fundraising? How do we get funds to you?
Oh, very easily. You can go to our website, B as in boy, G as in girl, C as in club, thewordplateau.org. That's bgcplateau.org. And you can just hit the donate page and send donate. Also, if you just want to learn more about the club, just come and visit us at any of our locations. We'll be glad to give you a tour and share you more about what we're doing. One of the things that makes us unique versus we're not childcare, we're youth development. So we're making sure that all the kids in our community achieve the following outcomes. One is academic success. The other is healthy lifestyles. That's having a physical activity. In addition, we make sure they have good social emotional well-being, so we're making sure they have good behavior and positive character and citizenship, and then finally workforce development. We want to make sure that we're preparing them for their futures, whatever those might be.
The kids are in great hands. Carmen Waite, executive director of the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Plateau, and tell us more about the partnership.
The town is very generously looking to allow us to build a brand new Boys and Girls Club with a pavilion similar to what we have in Cashers on the rec center grounds. And so the Boys and Girls Club would be responsible for running the club, providing our expertise, and fundraising money to build the facility that would be owned by the town.
Thanks for bringing Carmen Waite in there, the Boys and Girls Clubs. I know that this is an issue that you love.
And at the coffee, I provided a personal experience. I was a member of the Boys Club in Valdosta, Georgia in the late 50s. On the second floor of the club building, we had an arts and crafts room. There were little rubber molds, and you could mix up plaster. I learned to mix up plaster and make casts of animals and then paint them. Well, in a way, that was a formative experience for me. I went on to be an art teacher and to do sculpture. Those are the kind of things that a Boys and Girls Club can provide. It's a type of informal learning. Kids learn to grow and develop and learn new things. And that's why I think that's such an asset to this community to have a Boys and Girls Club here. What was the outcome of our workshop? We formed a task force, if you will, that will consist of Commissioner Pearson and Commissioner Weller, our town manager, and of course Lester Norris, the director of our recreation department. The Boys and Girls Club, they will be identified, their leadership, and they'll all meet together very soon to start addressing those issues related to a partnership. First step would be to create a memorandum of understanding and agreement on how to move forward. You know, I did my doctoral dissertation on formative influences of American artists. And so often I always thought it would just be the art teacher that would influence famous artists. But that's not the case. It's adults that mentor and teach and work with young people, regardless of what they do. Those relationships inspire those young people to be more than what they thought they could be.
After the workshop, you had the town board meeting, and we had a guest there in the audience. Carl Gillespie was there.
That's right. Our state representative and his lovely wife just walked in, and at first I said, what's going on? And we talked to Carl. The legislature's in recess, and I'm back in the area, so I'm visiting every town board meeting in my district, and I thought that was just really wonderful. He is a very good friend of Western Carolina and makes sure that the resources that we need as much as possible comes back to this part of the state.
We had a public hearing about a specific spot on Main Street.
We started a public hearing last month. We continued it. It deals with the utilization of space and the number of stories you can have on Main Street. Commissioner Weller especially was concerned that we didn't want to create like a three-story building that were just box-like. He was concerned about the architectural integrity. So we went back and made some adjustments in definitions and requirements to where now a person that owns a building on Main Street can get the full use of it with density of population and so forth. We have B1 structures. We should have high density. That's a business area.
Boy, more talk about our children, and we're putting that focus. And Brian Steeler trying to get some money. He did. $50,000 from the town and $50,000 from the county, you were telling me.
Brian has been the leader in building that all-inclusive playground at the rec park. He went to the Board of Commissioners in Macon County, who had already appropriated $300,000, got them to commit to another $50,000. The town had appropriated $200,000. We committed another $50,000, and that helps move that project along with the $700,000+ in private donations. We're getting close to launching the construction of that project. I know Brian's about $100,000 short of his goal, but he informed us that there are a number of possible matching contributions. So we're real confident that goal can be met.
Well, knowing Brian Steeler, he's tenacious, and if he has some sources on commitments of money, it'll be there.
There you go.
Boy, talking about building, but we're also talking about demolition bids for what to do with the playhouse.
We have a bid that qualifies for being approved at $73,000. I believe it's Bryson's Construction. The consensus is they want to delay this 30 days. We'll have a workshop at our next meeting in August. And if anyone has any concept or idea about how we can save the playhouse, please come forward at that time. We spent $26,000, have an architectural firm that specializes in building restoration come do a study. And they estimated at the time that it would cost at least $2.6 million to restore the playhouse. And that meant pretty much taking it apart. At our discussion, Commissioner Weller actually said, you know, realistically, it could be $3 to $3.5 million. If we're going to spend that kind of money, there are other locations like at the PAC Center where we could put up a small theater, or that could be done through private donations. I know that there's a lot of sentimental attachment to the old playhouse. There are a lot of questions. What would you do with it if you restored it? What would it be used for? There are limitations because it's on town property. I think that the course of action is to demolish the playhouse, and then bring the community in together to talk about how we repurpose that property. We'll wait, and if anybody has an idea, certainly the board will give full consideration.
This is how it works. You express your feelings at meetings, or and there's so many different ways that you can listen to all the information, the radio station, et cetera, et cetera.
That's right.
That's how we got to change the parking and what was going to happen on 4th Street.
You're right, and I might have come across at this meeting as being kind of frustrated because we were getting some feedback about the changes that we had on employee parking. The tenor was, well, we didn't know about it, or that was a quick decision.
Wow.
And my response was, no, it was not. Commissioner Patterson brought it up as a concern at one meeting. Then we had another discussion at another meeting where we sent it to the planning board. The planning board reviewed that issue and came back with recommendations. And at that point, the board decided to accept the recommendations of the planning board. If people didn't know, maybe people need to read the newspaper because it was covered there, or listen to WHLC because we talked about it, or go to the website of the town and pull up the agenda. It's posted at a meeting.
Ask Mayor Pat. That's a great source, your website. The Highlands app, what a treasure.
That's right. And someone was asking me this week about the hurricane response. Do you have the Highlands app? Person said, well, what is that? It's been in the newspaper. I've put it out on my website, the town website. We've talked about it here at WHLC on Ask the Mayor. I encourage that person, please get that app. It's free. And that is going to be our first way of contacting people as we go into hurricane season or any other major event. We can send out messages to people on that app about what the situation is. If there's a major fire somewhere, we can send that out. Police issue can be done. Bad weather situation where we lose power. So I encourage people to get that out.
Give me strength. Okay, another issue. The police chief came up there about alcohol in the park or alcohol of July 4th, and so there's some ambiguity there.
The mayor opened that can of worms. It was a lively discussion, Steve. I'm glad I did it. I talked with the police chief after the 4th of July, and her concern was that we have confusing policy. When we have our concerts in the park on Saturday during the summer, the board is given permission for people to bring alcohol to the park where they have picnics and so forth, and they listen to music. The other policy is no alcohol on the 4th of July, yet we're having music and the fireworks and everything, and people get confused. And at the last 4th of July, a few weeks ago, we had the police estimate at least 2,000 people in that park, and they were just concerned about managing the crowd, period, much less alcohol. The chief was wanting clarification. Do we allow alcohol on the 4th of July? Because they say with 2,000 people, it's problematic to much enforcement. Or do we continue with that policy? We let our town attorney before the meeting kind of look at the situation the way we have the policy now. His recommendation is that we work on the whole alcohol policy. The policy, do we need an ordinance, a resolution? It will take several months. Should we have alcohol in the park on the 4th of July? When are the other times that we can have alcohol? For example, we just gave permission to the Mountaintop Rotary Club for their art show to serve alcohol in the park from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock on that Saturday where the show is taking place. They control the alcohol there because they sell it. It's a ticketed event. They had a police officer there on patrol, and it went well. By and large, we don't really have problems with alcohol in the park as it is. It's well managed, but I do think it's time to do a thorough review and make sure everything's in order.
The firefighters meeting must have been a great event.
They pulled out all of the fire trucks from the garage area and had several hundred firefighters there. I was honored to welcome them and express my appreciation on behalf of the town and all of Western Carolina. I will tell you one little story about it, though. It was very interesting. Since there were so many firefighters there, they had vendors. They had these fire trucks, especially one for fighting brush fires that is very mobile, has two hoses and all this equipment. How much would that one cost? He said, $250,000. You need that kind of equipment when you have an emergency. Then I went and they had all the firefighting gear. And I noticed that one of the firefighter boots that they had, you see them all, especially in big cities, all the firefighters are wearing them. And some boots started at like $250. And then the super boots started at $450. Don't you want your firefighters to have the best equipment? And I talked to the man that was the vendor, and he said, Mayor, the truth is, it cost about $5,000 to $6,000 to fully outfit a firefighter with all the safety gear and uniforms. And he said, even beyond that, he says the national firefighting standards and everything require that after 10 years, you have to change those uniforms and get new ones because they wear and degrade and so forth. What impresses me so much is human beings who are willing to serve our community and go into harm's way, and we owe it to make them have the best equipment. possible.
And once again, we started the show with your special guest, Carmen Wade, Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Plateau. I know you're excited about the partnership.
This is just the first step, Steve. Probably for the rest of the year and going into next year, we'll be ironing out the details. There'll be a fundraising drive. They have an architectural design. We'll keep everyone posted as this takes place.